fighting for America.
This country is long overdue for a discussion about the tragic intersection of an over-militarized law enforcement establishment with people of color.
Fighting for Idaho.
It is outrageous that some would use partisan political theatrics to rip away at the very fabric of our state's constitution.
Fighting for you.
I recently got married, and I've turned my wife, who's a rabid Boise State fan, into a Paul Feinbaum fan.
Well, I want to congratulate you, Kevin. I mean, you were Birmingham's most eligible bachelor 15 years ago, and I'm surprised it took this long in Idaho.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. With the death of Robin Williams, certainly suicide prevention awareness has been raised around the country. But what about the state of Idaho? Remember how long it has taken us to get a suicide prevention hotline here. Joining us now is the program director for the Idaho Lives Project, Kim Kane. Kim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Good to have you here at 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. When you hear the news of a big famous person committing suicide, what does that do as far as awareness for this disease in your community?
Sure. Well, I think death of a major celebrity like that can have a positive effect in a way, though it's a tragedy, for spreading awareness and getting people to think about suicide and suicide prevention and how we can do more about it. Also, it can be problematic if it's not handled well in the media. It can add to contagion. And I think another thing that the death of a very well-known and well-loved celebrity does, it sort of propels us into thinking about what could make someone take their own lives. And often it's attributed to perhaps a single thing, which is a mistake, because suicide is extremely complex. It's never about just one thing. It's usually due to a myriad of things relating to a number of risk factors. That isn't to say that there can't be a triggering event, but that triggering event is only for someone who is already highly vulnerable for all those other reasons. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword, if you will.
Well, you and I talked last night extensively, and I said, hard to believe somebody at the age of 63 would take their own life. And you had some information that I'd love for you to share with us here at 580KIDO.
Sure. Well, what we know, and this is true across the country as well as here in Idaho, is that suicide rates tend to actually increase with age, particularly among men. And men complete suicide 4-to-1 to women. And so we know that when we're talking about working age males, so people maybe the age from 30 to 65, that their rates of suicide can be 4 and 5 times the rate of Idaho as a whole. And for people over age 65, it can be 7 to 9 times the rate for Idaho as a whole.
How are we as a state as far as our resources preventing suicide?
Well, it's been a long haul. I've been doing this for about 10 years, and things, of course, are much better now. We have the suicide hotline back up and running, and that's at 800-273-TALK or 800-273-8255. That's the Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline. And an Idaho suicide hotline is just the absolute basic that one needs for proper types of intervention. But there's been a lot being done by SPAN Idaho, the Suicide Prevention Action Network of Idaho, as well as other many partners over the years. But there are a lot of things that people can do. There's now the Idaho Lives Project, which is what I am running. And that is a project that is a partnership between SPAN Idaho and the State Department of Education to foster connectedness and resilience among school communities to prevent youth suicide. The nuts and bolts of the program are to provide comprehensive trainings and programs to school communities for schools that apply to the program. And we go in and provide programs for the students, the school staff, the parents, community members, and even the mental health providers and physicians of the area so that they can get proper training. A lot of our mental health folks still don't have enough training specifically in how to treat suicidal people. And so we're trying to bring that to communities around Idaho. And people can find out more about it, or if schools want to apply for the program, they can do that at idaholives.org. We also have the Governor's Council on Suicide Prevention, which has been active since about 2006. So there are many partners, including our Department of Health and Welfare and others, who are doing a variety of activities, from general awareness to specific training to even working with the media.
Well, we appreciate you working with the media. That's a motley crew.
It can be. And the media really, we're trying to help those in the media understand the impact that they have on suicide rates, because it's well shown right now that handled well, the media can help prevent suicides, and handled poorly can increase suicide rates for an area. So education is really important, and I truly appreciate opportunities like this.
Kim Kane with us, Program Director for the Idaho Lives Project. Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. It's been a popular saying, a popular myth. You and I talked about this last night, where people have labeled people in the past, suicide people that have killed themselves, as a very selfish act, and you wanted to address that today.
Yeah, I think it can certainly appear to be a selfish act to those who are left behind. Absolutely, no question. People who are suicide survivors and have lost a loved one, it can seem that way. But we understand more now about the suicidal mind than we have ever. And what we know is in place for someone who completes suicide is a couple of things. They have come to feel that, number one, that they don't belong. They're not connected to others. Even if they're surrounded by friends and family, they feel like they aren't connected. But the other is that they have what's called perceived burdensomeness. It means they feel they're a burden to others. They have come to fully believe, wrongly, but it's their perception that they believe that their death would be worth more than their life to the people around them, and they firmly believe it. So in their minds, in their, again, someone who is highly suicidal is not in a rational state of mind. So in their irrational state of mind, they firmly believe that what they're doing will be of benefit to the people that they're leaving behind. Again, that's a wrong assumption. But they've come to believe that, which is not selfish at all. They truly believe that their death would be worth more than their life to those left behind. It's very sad.
What are some of the signs that we should all be looking out for when we're looking at loved ones, people at work, that can give us some real insight here today at 580KIDO?
Sure, that's a great question. We know that most suicide prevention experts now tell us that there are warning signs about 100% of the time. And we know that 70% of the time, that's a person making actual statements to people. So threatening suicide or talking about suicide, sometimes with a direct statement that they're going to die by suicide, or something indirect like, pretty soon you may not have to worry about me. Certainly, if people have previous suicide attempts, they're at very high risk. If they're seeking methods to kill themselves, the means to kill themselves, that's a high warning sign. So are some other things like agitation. People who are highly suicidal are agitated, and that usually leads to sleeplessness. So sleep troubles, hopelessness, nightmares in and of themselves are a warning sign. People are having a lot of nightmares. So changing the eating patterns, mood changes, increased use of drug and alcohol, basically changes in the behaviors of that person. And any of those warning signs, and more complete list can be found at spanidaho.org. Any of those warning signs is may not be reason to believe that someone is suicidal, but any warning sign is a reason to check in with the person and ask them if they're okay. If you see several signs, or if the person is talking about suicide, that's a reason to ask them straight out, are you thinking about suicide?
And it can happen to anybody.
Absolutely. Suicide knows no bounds, no socioeconomic class, no religion, no ethnicity is immune from suicide.
Now, let's talk about the young people, because when we think of it, we always think of the young people committing suicide. With social media, with the prescription culture that we have, with our young people exposed to more stimuli, whether it's media or electronics or what have you, are these the same signs that you should look for in your young person if they're having a rough go at it?
Yeah, absolutely. And in addition, with young people, you'd want to be looking for changes in their schoolwork or how they're behaving with their friends. And it's so, so critical for young people to know not to keep this a secret. That's one of the most important things that we can do for kids, is help them understand that if they or their friend is thinking about suicide, that's not the time to keep that code of silence and not to tell adults. So that's critically important. And part of what the Idaho Lives Project is doing is bringing a program to Idaho called Sources of Strength. And what we need to do for kids is help them to identify a trusted adult that they can talk to so that they'd be willing to reach out if they or a friend is in trouble, and to foster resilience and connectedness among kids, because, as I mentioned, people who die by suicide, including kids, feel like they don't belong. And that's something we have a lot of power to affect. Simply smiling at somebody can give them a sense of belongingness. And with social media, I know that kids are exposed to a whole lot more. We know that kids, though, are pretty good at understanding when it comes to watching things on the computer or video games. We know that as young as age 3, kids are able to discern what's pretend and what's happening in real life. And so kids who are suicidal are most affected by what's happening to them in real life. And when it comes to things like cyberbullying and that type of thing, certainly bullying is a risk factor, but it's also important for kids to understand that bullying does not cause suicide on its own. And I'm afraid that message has been out there and they've seen it, and many of them believe it. Bullying is a risk factor, but lots and lots of kids are bullied and they make it through it and they get help. So bullying is just one risk factor, and we need to do a lot more about bullying, especially cyberbullying. But it's important to understand that that's not a cause of suicide.
Kim, a final question, and again, we're going to reach out and partner with you in the future on many more events and projects. But, you know, as I told you last night, I've told people, you know, I lost my best friend, and every day I pray for him, every day I miss him. What do you say to people that are survivors of suicide that have lost someone close to them in their lives?
All right, absolutely. I'm so sorry about your loss. And on the SPAN Idaho website at spanidaho.org, there's a list of suicide survivor support groups around the state, and those can be extremely helpful. Also, if you know folks who just haven't had any resources about how a suicide death is a different type of death for those left behind. And there are a number of resources, including suicide support packets that you can get from SPAN Idaho that have a wealth of information for them to help people with this grieving process. So SPAN Idaho can be a wealth of information for suicide survivors. And I'll also mention that SPAN Idaho is having its annual conference here in Boise on September 11th and 12th. And survivors are welcome to attend that as well. You can find out more again at spanidaho.org.
Kim, finally, the suicide prevention hotline again?
Yes, 1-800-273-TALK.
Talk. And we'll put that on our blog posting today. Kim, we appreciate it. I know it's a little hectic, but great information.
Thank you so much.
All right, there we have it. Kim Kane joining us. Real life tips. Remember that number, 1-800-273-TALK.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Staying up all night.
This is Tea Party Bob, and I'm taking the ALS challenge. And I'm calling out my good friend, Mr. Tom Munns. Get your butt out on a chair and let me put a bucket over your head. Let's go.
You got 24 hours. Okay, here it comes. Here it comes. And there we go.
Ah!
Tea Party Bob. Tea
Party. Oh!
Don't swear.
Ah!
What is causing the country to go ice bucket crazy? Well, it is the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Joining us here to discuss at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. By the way, good morning. We do appreciate you joining us. Is Becky Moore, Executive Director of the ALS Association. That is the Evergreen chapter. They serve people in Washington, Arkansas, Montana, and Idaho here at 580 KIDO. Becky, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO.
Thanks for having me.
Just how big is this challenge?
Wow. Well, it has just been sweeping the nation. As everybody knows, there's tons of celebrities who've gotten involved, along with just regular folks challenging each other. And it's just been a fantastic way of raising awareness about ALS.
Well, I know. Here you have, and it's funny because this is such a unique campaign that y'all have. I mean, you have ordinary people like myself, Tea Party Bob. You heard him letting you know that the ice was legitimate yesterday.
Yes.
And it really goes to show you just how we have changed our way of communicating. And, you know, this happened. It seemed as if this was more grassroots. Usually it's a celebrity, and the celebrities seem to be following in this case with the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, the local folks, the regular folks.
Absolutely, Kevin. And I think it's a testament to how passionate families are who've been touched by ALS. They really want people to know what it is. And most people just simply don't know what it is. So they've been driving this so that they can really spread the word about what they're facing and what they're living with.
Let's talk a little bit about how much money you all have raised and how successful this has been. And how I can ask you a gazillion questions. We'll just start with that.
Well, I know that association-wide, they're looking at breaking the $10 million mark, which, you know, is compared to about $1.5 million in the same time period last year, so year over year. So that's pretty amazing. So that's been lovely. And I will say this is a great organization with lots of programs to help people and to research into the cause and cure for ALS. So this is really fantastic for our organization.
Becky, tell us about ALS. We all know about the Ice Bucket Challenge, but how many of us know what ALS stands for?
Yeah, ALS is more commonly referred to as Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's a motor neuron disease, and gradually a person's motor neurons begin to die off, which means the message from the brain isn't getting through to the muscles. So people become progressively disabled and pass away. There's no effective treatment or cure at this point in time, so families really face the worst of the worst. So it's a really hard disease to get.
And it can happen at any time?
Yes, it can start at any time. Typically, it's in adults, and typically the prognosis after you're diagnosed is about 2.5 years that you can expect. Now, some people live longer, and some people pass away quicker. So it's really a devastating timeline, too.
What is the reaction of family members that deal with this? Obviously, we still don't know a lot about Lou Gehrig's disease, and Lou Gehrig so famously talked about his blessed life as he battled this disease that bears his name now.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you that what I have heard from patients and family members facing this is that they're so very grateful that this awareness is being raised. They face the challenge of every time they meet with somebody having to explain what ALS is, and about only half the people in the country even had heard of what ALS was. So now that is significantly greater, and people are going to know more what they're facing, and they're going to not have to go through that, you know, blank stare they get from people when they say they have ALS. So it's so encouraging to them. You know, they're just desperate for people to understand what they're going through, and this has really been wonderful for that.
Well, how does it work for people that are listening at 580KIDO that might not be on the Facebook or the Twitter or a social media maven?
Right, yeah, it's really definitely taken off mostly in social media, but anybody can do it. And basically what it is, you pour a bucket of ice water over your head, and you challenge friends or people you know or local officials, whoever, to take the challenge and to and or make a donation to the ALS Association. And that's as simple as it is. And anybody can challenge anybody. Edith Kennedy recently took the challenge and challenged President Obama. So anybody can do it.
I think the president was looking for somebody else to take the challenge in his place. And I can tell you the buckets of water are cold. Now let's talk about your region, the Evergreen region, and some of the ALS programs in our state and in the states that you cover.
Absolutely. We just actually completed at the end of last month. We were there in Boise. We had our practical solutions workshop for people who are living with ALS, and that just is giving them all kinds of hints and tips on how to manage living with ALS successfully so that, you know, just taking away as many barriers as we can so people can live to the fullest. So we were just recently there.
Well, there's no place better than the Treasure Valley. What about people listening right now that would like more information? What can they do?
Well, we'd love to have you jump onto our website. It's www.alsa-ec for the Evergreen Chapter.org.
Well, Becky, we appreciate it, and thank you for sending me the photos of you taking the challenge. It's good to know that other folks are, you know, you're just not promoting it. You're a participant.
Yeah, I thought I'd offer you some proof there, Kevin.
Well, you know, that's what we like, because we're a high-speed journalistic outfit here.
There you go, and I hope you'll take the challenge.
Oh, no, I did last Sunday. I did.
Oh, good.
And we had Two Fly Bry, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, Tom Munns, and you heard Tea Party Bob take it as well. So it continues to grow, and that's the wicked cool thing about this Ice Bucket Challenge is it really is about the people doing something that you think is so goofy and so ridiculous, and yet people love it. Any idea how this originated?
Yeah, actually, my understanding is that some families connected to the Massachusetts chapter of the ALS Association got it all started by just grassroots doing that. And, yeah, it does seem really silly, but how meaningful to have raised the awareness of this devastating disease, really, in the end. Very, very serious result from something that's fun and silly.
Well, Becky, in the age here at 580KIDO where there's so much bad news, I mean, this is how, I don't want to say crazy it is, but crazy in a good way. I have my nephew calling out my mother, and my mother, God bless her, 70 years old, dumping a bucket of ice water over her head, and my dad taping it. I'm sure he was very happy that he never got called out.
Absolutely. That's the fun of it.
Well, Becky, we appreciate it, and thank you for joining us. Please keep us in mind if you're in country, as we like to call it here. We'd love for you to swing by the updated and modern broadcast center.
Well, great. Thanks so much, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Becky, take care now. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Our friend Becky Moore, Evergreen Chapter of the ALS.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men.
KIDO, it is time to talk to our friend Robin in the Manly Man segment. You're thinking the Manly Man. Well, where's Dave Burnett? Dave is off today, but he'll be back tomorrow. But once again, we have our friend Robin in, and she's always happy to be here with us.
Oh, yes. I'm thrilled. Thank you.
And we always appreciate that. By the way, if you're are you a big wrestling fan at all, Robin?
No, not so much.
I see. Well,
yes, I'm a huge fan, Kevin. That's right.
Okay, well.
I love wrestling.
Which is it?
Well, I think you told me that I'm always supposed to lie, right, and say that I'm a fan if I'm not.
Well, you're supposed to say that off the air, Robin.
What?
Why are you going behind the curtain here? Already you're 3 minutes in and you've gone off the script that I typed up last night, 15 consecutive of single-spaced pages, and already.
Ad lib.
You know, and it's funny, I know why you're so out of control already, because you revealed that to me earlier today during our pre-show meeting.
Yes.
And you're just moments away, you're just, how should we put this, you're seconds away from going on vacation.
Pretty much.
And really, Robin, let me talk you out of vacation, if you don't mind.
What?
Yeah, let me talk you out of vacation.
Oh.
Because quite frankly, I gotta believe that you've been thinking about your vacation for quite some time, right?
A couple weeks at least.
Yeah, you've been thinking about your vacation for quite some time, and let's face it, that has been a distraction here at the Broadcast Center. And really, I have no official position at the Broadcast Center, but let's just say I don't want to take his old position because he got the boot, and that would be the czar of quality control. But let's just say that I was the czar of quality control. And I would pretty much eliminate vacations. And the reason why I would eliminate vacations is because you got to come back. You know, Robin, nothing personal, but you're going to come back. And when you come back, you're going to have more work than ever. You're going to be all behind, and you're going to think, boy, I need another vacation. And then you're going to say, you know, Kevin Miller was right. And, you know, I'm just saving you from the additional stress of having to catch up on all the work that you're going to miss. You might as well do what I do and just hang out and not go anywhere and just stay here and just work.
Well, when you say that my vacation is a distraction,
mentally, because you've, instead of focusing it on, you know, the script and the weeks of preparation it takes to do the Manly Man segment right here at 580KIDO, you're thinking about doing things with your family and having a good time. Look, this is work. It's not good time Charlie time here at 580KIDO.
What are you going to do on your days off?
Well, you know, I am going to sit home and opine and stew until it's time to come back to the Broadcast Center, as I should.
Stew.
You know,
until it's time.
I will. It'll be like being on sabbatical. It'll be like being in exile. And I'll be wondering who's scheming against me.
I thought you meant like soul searching, you know, in exile.
Now,
like,
don't I do that enough here?
Right in front of everyone on the radio.
Don't I do that enough with you and everything else?
Yes, see, you do. Plenty. Way enough.
Say, Robin, what's going on? Nah, nothing. Really, Robin? Let's go a little further. Well, I don't want to. Well, maybe you should.
Dig deeper.
Yeah. So,
saying there's something under the surface.
Isn't there always?
Yeah. Bubbling like a stew, like you said. See? Stewing.
Stewing. There we have it. So we have Robin's vacation, which is very scintillating here. We also have more violence in Ferguson, some goofy press conference, which we'll talk about. We'll find out whether or not anybody here at 580KIDO believes it could happen to Idaho, this whole racial unrest, which it's kind of funny. My wife was talking to me about it, and she said, you know, why are they doing that? Can't they see that this guy was, you know, was robbing the convenience store? And I go, you know, sometimes people have an agenda. The country is not all blessed to have the Idaho outlook where, you know, you have people that are friendly, that are nice. You have people that are agitators, even Al Sharpton saying there's a difference between activists and thugs. You know all about that. Are you?
An activist or a thug?
I could see you living the thug life.
I flash my gang colors.
Well, you know, when you're out doing your gigs, because anybody doing a gig cannot be trusted.
That's true. What kind of gig? A gig.
You know, when you're, you know, what is that? Hey, what are you doing this weekend? I'm doing a gig.
Oh.
Oh, well, I'm watering the petunias.
That sums up your weekend?
Well, that's all I'm saying. I mean, when you talk about gigs, I just, you know, don't trust the rock and roll lifestyle that you live.
Well, it is kind of unstable. We live on the fly, you know. Just never know what's going to happen.
By the way, thank you for derailing me from talking about wrestling last night. SummerSlam happened, and Brock Lesnar defeated John Cena and did it apparently in an impressive fashion. And you know, wrestling is real, Robin.
Well, yeah.
Wrestling is not fake.
Wasn't Brock an MMA fighter?
He was, until he got run, and then he came back to the WWE.
The guy is huge.
You're right, and would you like to have any more insightful comments
here? That's crazy. That's amazing. Crazy amazing.
I suppose. So, you know, between you and Alan L. Morton...
Aren't you impressed that I knew who Brock Lesnar was?
Yes. You know, I'm impressed with you all the time. You know, I've got Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who continues to Facebook me. You know, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, I don't Facebook you while you're deposing people. You know, he's sitting there going, oh, having a discussion on suicide, now you go on vacation. Boy, what the heck? He's the only guy I know that beats me to the pre-show tease. on Facebook.
Don't you sort of hate those kind of people? They're just one step ahead of you.
Yes, and that seems to be a lot of people.
Well,
quite frankly, as opposed to quite unfrankly.
Yeah, just most of those people don't post it right on Facebook, and then everyone sees it because everyone looks at Facebook, and once it's out there, it's out there.
Including Brock Lesnar.
He does? He looks at Facebook?
There we have it.
Sweet.
So we have that. Yes. So
I don't care.
Yeah, so anyway, back to the big story, some of the top stories here at 580KIDO. We've got the Missouri governor sending in the National Guard to Ferguson. We've got Julian Assange. You remember him. He's the guy from WikiLeaks that has been living in, like, I think it's the Swiss embassy. He's been under house arrest forever. He's talking about leaving, sowing confusion. Now, if you are under house arrest, Robin, for, like, not only months but years, and I guess the Swiss embassy would be kind of cool, and it would be going to Gitmo or to Leavenworth or something like that, but wouldn't that get old no matter how many electronic devices you would have?
Probably, eventually.
Now, what would be torture?
I'm with you.
Hang on, little buddy. I'm coming back at you at 580 KIDO. We're going to save this segment. Here's the thing that gets me is, now, if you have every electronic device, the premium packages, you have the Netflix, the Hulu, blah, 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 probably ask Mrs. Miller and she'd go, well, what's the difference between that and your normal life? You have the shades pulled down, you have the dogs, you don't even like to take them out. You just sit there. Or as my mom used to say, like a bump on a log. Hey, thanks, Mom. Or as my dad used to say, there's the horizontal man. Yeah, thanks for that positive reinforcement, Dad. Look where it led me. So I'm sitting here, but you know what would be real torture is to be confined to your house. Let's say in Idaho, no air conditioning and no electronics, like no Facebook, no videos, not even old school DVDs. Now, that would be some punishment. I guess you could have some books so you wouldn't go crazy. But imagine how much better and more intellectually expansive your mind would be if you didn't have any of these welcome distractions. You'd just be sitting there. Now, that would be doing time, I think.
That would be difficult. Like, how could you Google stuff? You couldn't Google stuff.
You know what? I'll tell you what they do. They would get something called the old Encyclopedia Britannica. You remember those?
You know, that that's funny. I was just talking about that.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we used encyclopedias.
Yeah, the Encyclopedia Britannica. Then we would have, let's see, then you'd have the world books and everything else. And,
right.
You know?
Actually, and I was talking about when you actually need a stack of books to weigh something down, what do you do now? Like a stack of... like a computer tower.
Right.
Kids don't need the books these days.
Huh. And that's the kind of thing. Because remember a couple years ago, Tom Luna's going, everybody's going to have a laptop or an iPad. And now pretty much everybody does. But I think there is something to be said for reading a book or, you know, as opposed to doing it electronically. What about you?
I get frustrated sometimes. I do have a Kindle and I love it. But when I'm trying to flip back and forth between books, or where normally you could go, oh, I remember it was kind of right around here in the middle of the book and flip right to it. You have to click, 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 click. So there's things that I like about books, but it is so convenient to have it all in electronic form.
Do you have that Kindle where that lady talks to you? Hi, I'm Kindle woman. Okay, you're a little too happy.
No, see, I've got the old Kindle.
I would get like the have the service where I'm the angry Kindle man. Okay. All right, Jerky, what do you want?
Well, I can't Google. Google Schmoogle.
Hey, should have got an iPad.
Well, I don't want an iPad. Well, all right.
Well, I mean, isn't that kind of
all right?
Isn't that kind of, well, what? Look, it's before 6 a.m. What do you expect? You know, I'm sitting here hanging out thinking about this. But I mean, would you ever do one of those things where you're talking to a total stranger in your Kindle?
Hi there. I'm Jimmy from Kindle. What can I help you with?
And you ever notice that it's never a guy, it's a gal.
Hi, I'm Amy.
Okay.
She usually sounds a little sexier than that.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Amy. And what happens if
just
all
like
of,
that.
You know, let me tell you about, I even hate to say the words. I look, we all know sexy here on this program.
Oh, without a doubt.
I'm going to tell you what sexy is on this program. Are you ready?
Well, 2:30, 2:30.
Oh! I don't like it.
2:30, 2:30. Oh!
That's wrong.
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Tea Party Bob getting a cold shower.
Are you sure?
It is.
That's not what it sounds like. Sounds terrible.
What?
It sounds terrible.
Boy. All right, Robin, we've got a couple minutes left and an oldie but a goodie here. Boy, time's flying with you.
Oh, yeah.
Change is needed, and women are smarter than men.
Well, when she's right, she's right.
So you agree with that statement?
Change is needed, and women are smarter than men.
You know, Robin, I know you're used to doing the traffic reports, and there's not a lot of controversy in the traffic reports, but we thrive on controversy. We dance on danger, and we dine on death, and dead men don't make money.
But then,
with respect to the road warriors.
But then Alan L. Morton will be messaging me on my Facebook about whatever I say.
Yeah, once again, I lose my Alan L. Morton attorney at law to you. Oh, Robin, she sounds so good. Let me tell you what sounds good.
2:30.
Look, a cold shower, getting waterboarded. It's all the same here.
It's all equal.
It is.
Yes, women are smarter than men. That's about something.
2:30.
See, there you go.
All right, it's time for traffic with our friend.
Oh, good.
Well, hold on. You have anything else you'd like to share with us?
Oh, I think that's all I had, which was not a lot.
You brought so much to the table once again.
It's early.
You know, I was going to take today off, and I go, no, Robin's in. I've got to come see Robin. I got to spend some time with
Robin. Really? It was all because of me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Exactly, and this is what I said.
2:30.
That's how I'll be spending my time off. 553, 60 degrees. Dave is on assignment today, but he'll be back tomorrow. Here's Robin at 580.